That indeed is what today we're talking about, the powers of evil. But we don't want to focus on the powers of evil. We want to focus on what Christ does for us. So I pray that each of us and myself will come out of this morning confident rather than scared out of our heads of the evil that we know does exist around us. Are we safe? Are we protected from danger as Christians? Today we're talking disaster readiness. Trouble will come, and we can be prepared to stand our ground. So, what does that mean? The Bible tells us that God wants us and expects us, that's a really high bar, to be confident and not fear the future. Did you know that that's what we're supposed to do? Isaiah 41, do not fear, I am with you. Matthew 6, do not be anxious about tomorrow. And then this is really weird. Tomorrow can be anxious for itself. So that's very human, isn't it? Proverbs 31, she laughs without fear of the future, a person who trusts the Lord. What are your experiences with disaster readiness? The history of the passage that we, when we read the Bible, we read what's here. We also read the history of how other people have read it. Now, if you come to it and you've never read the Bible, you're not in a Christian community, then I don't know, how much you read the history of the Bible. But for the people here, we read what other people have read, and we either say, no, I don't think that's right, in our heads we're calculating, or else we say, yes, this is what it is. In the history of the Christian church, there have been people who use this imagery of armor and warfare to wage aggressive war, such as the Crusades, to try to get back control territory that was believed to be God's. This was God's territory. You've got to go back and bring Jerusalem back from the infidels. There were a number of crusades. American culture reveres heroes. A book came out in Japan that said, those Westerners, they need a hero. That's why they believe in Jesus. But the Easterners, we don't need heroes. We just live our quiet lives. Americans just love heroes. What is it, Captain America or Superman? That's the things that my generation knows about. But younger people, online, there's all kinds of heroes and things. If I said the names of the game that you play, there's some kind of a hero. Usually they're tormented or flawed or they're mixed good and bad, whatever. But there's heroes, there's people that you root for in the game. Others reading this passage have identified their own nation with the kingdom of God. As we call that in America, we call it American exceptionalism, that America is an exception to all of the other nations on earth, that all nations are under God's authority, but somehow America is very special. That's the way some people read this book. And other people have read these verses with a justification for what they consider to be a righteous war. So when we read this, we have to read, this is the way it's been used. This is the way it's been used. But think, this is a text written by a prisoner who's chained to a soldier. This is not written by the prime minister or the king of a great nation with a great power at his fingertips. This is written by a man who has no power in his house and where he's chained to the guard. They chained them. He was chained when he wrote this. He was not the administrator of a great kingdom. He was not the financier. He was not giving philanthropic goods to raise the level of the poor. He was chained to a Roman soldier. And like you and I, you look at what's in front of you. And he's thinking, boy, this guy is really big. And as he thinks about it, he's thinking about, what does this mean? What does it mean that this guy is so powerful? And here I am, sitting here in chained to him as a criminal is. The Old Testament, in mercy, limits retaliation for harm. This is what it says in Exodus. life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, and I didn't remember this was here, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe, that means when you're whipped, stripe for stripe. What it is it's limiting. You don't get up and destroy the whole community. Limit your retaliation. Don't go on an endless cycle of revenge, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But limit retaliation if you must retaliate. That is the teaching in Exodus and in Leviticus. Christ acknowledges this in Matthew 5. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist one who is evil. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And a little bit further down, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. When Christ was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, he told Peter to put his sword away. Matthew 26, all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Paul quotes Deuteronomy 32 in Romans 12. Repay no one evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, and this is in Revelation, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. I'm sorry, that's not, I forgot the text. Oh, I'm sorry, that's Deuteronomy 32. In Revelation 19, Christ, the faithful and true, rides out on a white horse, and then he judges and he makes war against unrighteousness. Paul is in a position of weakness. He does not anticipate that in 300 years, the Roman soldiers will carry the cross into battle and that there will be a holy Roman Empire. That is 300 years away. Many people think that Christian faith was bent out of shape by the experience of being identified with a powerful earthly kingdom. Christianity, as Christ taught it, was not meant to dominate and coerce, but to bear witness to the life of Christ from a position of weakness. And yet, here we have this passage, the armor of the Lord. The armor and weapons are not used to take what others have, nor to retaliate for harm to loved ones or self, nor even to right injustice, but to protect against evil powers. These images are meant to give confidence when it seems impossible to resist the forces of evil and the forces of darkness that are beyond human control. The enemy is not human. Paul is not making the soldier who's chained to him the enemy. He is looking behind that soldier to the terrible forces that either slyly and quietly or violently and right to your face attempt to sweep away everything we depend on. These forces come from beyond the earthly realm, however you understand that. I believe in the supernatural. I believe there's a spiritual realm. There are some Christians who believe that it is forces of the human heart that are evil. So you have a very broad view here at this church. However you understand, I think everyone who's alive past the age of three knows that there are forces of evil in the world. You can't deny that. Let's see, where were we? The forces come from it, and they bring us to our knees. It's terrifying to be face to face with evil. Each of us know what it is to be face to face with raw evil. You can feel it in your gut, what you have experienced. It may be presented to us through human agents, but the evil is beyond human. And we sense that. In that situation, our confidence is that God is watching over us. We do know that we will suffer beyond, if you are alive, you will suffer beyond what you think you have the ability to bear. This is too much. This is too much. Whatever it is. But we do not know whether God, we know that that will happen to you, but we don't know exactly what each of us will face. Natural disasters, hunger, loss, beating, mocking, imprisonment. We may or may not have specific forms of it, but each of us will suffer just beyond what we are able to bear. Hebrews 11, Job, it is not God's pleasure that we suffer, nor is it a game to God. We suffer for our sins, our own sins. We suffer for the sins of other people that affect us. And we suffer for the conditions of earthly life, the limitations and the way that life is. There's systems in place that make us suffer. But God is with us. That was the promise. Emmanuel, people name their children Emmanuel to remember that God is with us in Christ and through the presence of the Holy Spirit. We are expected, this is not extra, we are expected, each one of us, to take these weapons and defensive armor and be ready for the encounters of evil that not may come, but will come. Don't be surprised. This will come to you. You will be pressed beyond your ability to think how to handle it. It will come. And you are expected to know, as Paul did as a prisoner of Rome, to be ready with truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith, salvation. You're going to doubt, but salvation, the word of God, prayer in the spirit, prayer, supplication, perseverance, supplication, bold utterance, mystery of the gospel. And now in a practical sense, how do we experience this? How do we put God's goodness into our hands and stand prepared? And you know, do you feel that you've taken them into your hands? Do you feel that you've taken them? And now I'd like to roll this little card out. Eloise wasn't using it, so I borrowed it. I said, are you using the card this morning? She said, no, she's not having story time. Roll my little card out here. I want to show you something here. This is a toy. This is a little set of armor. Did you give your children one of these? I want to think with you about this little toy set of armor. It's basically for boy children. Probably give it to kids, you know, oh, we have an equal opportunity family. You might give it to a child. It's very small. I thought I would put it on one of you, but it's pretty small. It certainly won't fit me. Is this a helpful toy? Is this something we want in our Sunday school room? What are the pros and cons of using something like this? Are there other ways? How are you going to teach your children about the power of God to protect them? Teach them that they will have trouble. This whole business about COVID ruining a whole generation. My father's generation had World War II. There was World War I. There's plague, there's earthquake, there's fire, there's famine. All these poor kids have had trouble. If it wasn't that, it would have, I don't mean to be cold. And for the kids who were like in high school during COVID, that was tough. And the kids that were coming to kindergarten, I'm not saying it wasn't, it was terrible. But that's the way life is. Oh, that's so unfair. If it wasn't that, it will be something else. How do we teach our children There will be trouble. It's not, oh, you're so precious, you deserve to be, have, you know, pink clouds follow you everywhere. You will have trouble, but here's the thing, you're going to stand firm. And they're not going to listen to what you say. They're going to watch what you do. Oh man, I wish I could raise my kid again. Oh, there's a proverb from another country that says, children watch from you from behind. They watch what you do. They listen to what you say, but they learn to be the way that you are, unless they fight you and be exactly the opposite and then have the opposite problems. So how can we teach about spiritual confidence, endurance, and stability? But you know what we can? Okay, so I want some of you, okay, Phil Donahue, I wasn't in the States during Phil Donahue. Apparently he asked the audience and stuff, so we're going to have a little moment in memory of him, and you're going to ask, you're going to tell me what you think of this little set of armor and whether it's something that you think our church should have in the children's room or whether you wish you could take it home for your child. But first, you know what it's good for? A memory device, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, so let's at least do that, and then you can be thinking, well, is this a good way to teach kids about the power of God? All right. There's a belt in here somewhere. Here it is. Okay, boys and girls, what does this belt represent? What is the belt? The belt of truth. Okay, this is a belt of truth. So that's useful, isn't it? When you physically see something. So when you're thinking, there's lies all around me, just put your hand at your waist. Think, belt of truth. That's good. Then there's a breastplate. Yeah, I was going to ask Sir Elliot to come here and do this, but that's okay. I was going to ask his father to dress him, but then I saw how small it was. I think he couldn't fit it. No, it's too small. So the breastplate, what is the breastplate? How do we protect ourselves? Do you remember? It's in the bulletin if you want to look. Breastplate?
Righteousness.
Righteousness. So when you think, this is a pit of hell. This is all mixed up. This is wrong. This is not truthful stuff. You think, breastplate of righteousness. And then they don't really have shoes, but this is what you put, I guess, on your shins. This is the closest. What do you put on your feet? Do you remember? The preparation of the gospel of peace. So you're always, your feet. Sometimes old people, your feet are aching or your shoes are wet or whatever it is, you think, shoes, the gospel of the peace of Christ. And that is your birthright. That is what, it's not just for a special people. That is for you. And then, you know, the Romans had a shield wall. Where they would advance, not just one, they would advance together, and they had a way to lock their shields into each other, boom, boom, boom. You kind of see it with the riot police, you know? They lock together and then they move forward like that. So Paul may have been thinking about not just one individual shield, but about the shield. And what is the shield that we can, faith, when the fiery darts come, and they will just think, oh, shield of faith, put up your shield. Star Wars, don't they raise the shield or something like that? Yeah. So there's a shield of faith. And on your head, what do you have on your head?
Salvation.
You are under the protection of Jesus, the cross of Jesus Christ and salvation. Your head is protected. And then finally, this looks like not a defensive sword, but it could also be a defensive sword. And what is the sword? It is the word of God. And You sing about it, and I think you live it as well. So, what do you think? Is this a useful thing to give to children? Or is there we're not chained to a Roman soldier. So what is it that we look at? The septa system of God's salvation for you? You thought about that, you know, the trolley. You jump on the trolley, it takes you away from danger, from harm. I mean, you want to use transportation system, you want to use cooking, you want to use carpentry. What do you look at every day, and how can you use that to tell a child about the power of God? All right, so, ladies and gentlemen, have you had a chance to think? What do you think? Is this something you want in the... I know what Eloise thinks. All right, why not just, what is it, Eloise?
I think the children have trouble making the leap from literal to abstract, and they would be stuck with the literal weapon stuff.
Okay.
And although we could, for an hour a week at the most, teach about the abstract meaning of these items, for all day long, every day on TV and whatever, they're going to hear about and see weapons being used to destroy.
Destroy, not to, okay.
No, it's not good.
The AK-14 of God's power, yeah. Okay.
When Mark in Sunday school, didn't we teach him this very scripture? And you used some memory device. I don't know that it was all this, but you did something. I remember you did something that kind of brought in the spiritual meaning behind it somehow. We got to pull out the old lesson.
Petros.
I'm just going to say, I think we've been down this road.
I think everyone is saying you want a child to know what's behind it. But children do like to see something physical. Actually, adults do too. And like to see something physical and then think about what it means, you know, spiritually. That's what Paul is doing for us. Does anybody else have a comment?
Something that's a little different than this, but when Zach was like in kindergarten maybe, there was this He-Man and Skeletor, and I only let them watch Sesame Street, and that's all they watched. And he was feeling like left out because he didn't even know who He-Man and Skeletor were. And so when I went to the pediatrician, he said, well, why don't you watch it with him? But my issue with it was that He-Man, he always triumphed over evil, which was Skeletor, but he did it by punching him out of the universe. And so I was afraid the message he would get would be like he would think that good always wins by physical force. Do you know? I did with the pediatrician. We watched it together, and once he saw what it was, he said, okay, now he knows, and that's the last he ever watched it. But the thing is, you know, their ability to generalize, yeah, is, I think, important.
All right. Anybody else?
I don't think it's a good idea. Xavier had one, and he took the sword and whacked everything. I think that the image is for adults, and for children, I don't think it's.
Yeah, I think it's for adults. Mine did exactly what Xavier, especially Niza. That was his toy. He just loved to kill everybody. So I don't think it's a good one.
It's for adults.
Yeah.
It's for us to... Anybody else like to say a comment? As you know, we had one in our home. I don't remember how it got there, but we did have one, so that's my secret.
I was just going to say that we had a lesson once acted out where we had David and Goliath, and Goliath was a tall man to begin with, and I forget who David was, but it was pretty small, and the Goliath had armor and a sword and everything else. And I don't think anybody will ever forget that image that was in the main sanctuary. And he stood up high. He was tall to begin with. He had all this armor and a sword. And this young boy with his sling looked extremely tiny. And even the children, I'm sure, couldn't could remember that, but it took a few objects to mm-hmm. convey all that. The steel and the sword helped, you know.
Mm-hmm. The visual really yes. helps us remember, doesn't it? So I hope that you will remember the armor of Lord, because this is not optional. And honestly, we are going to be pressed. We just honestly do not know what to do. And sometimes it's health, sometimes it's other things. We really need to be ready, and you need to be ready. And then the next question is, how do you teach your children? So as they get older, to make sure that they understand that they're not helpless in the power of evil. There is evil, but they're not helpless, and that we are protected, even though we will suffer, and that Christ is victorious. You said not enough closure. How can we make this joyous? But I think you know that God is with us and that Christ suffered with us so that we can be confident in the power of God over death in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Anybody else have a really wise say, something to say? Okay. Then, so I'm not dropping this off in the kids' room? No. Christina, did you want to say something?
I just thought that what you said about your son, once he saw the show, he was like, not interested. So it's better to show and let it not be a mystery. Because otherwise they want it really badly. And then when it's not a mystery anymore. But evil's always going to be there, like you said.
Yeah, and sometimes evil's really entrancing. So sometimes it is interesting to kids. So. All right, Heavenly Father, thank you that Paul was filled with prayer and the Holy Spirit, and he just stared at that soldier chain thinking, what does this mean when God is so powerful and I'm chained as a criminal to this soldier? Thank you for this image of the defensive armor and the sword of the Spirit, which can cut through all things. We pray that each one of us will be confident that we are protected by Christ. And we pray that you would help us teach children and other younger people what that means by showing them and encouraging them to talk about who Christ is. Thank you for this congregation. In Jesus' name, amen.